This is the Mantastic Experience.
Ooh, somebody needs to keep their day job.
Wow, that's some heat. That's some real heat.
I like it. I like it.
This is the Mantastic Experience. I am Mr. GP, a legal expert, joined, as always, by Professor G, the educational expert. We got C-Square, our financial expert, with us, and the beautiful Miss Minga, our social-emotional expert. Professor G, you want to kick us off with what you got today?
What is the cheat code to get around all these high demands of women of today? Brothers, be in good shape. Hit the gym. Now, I know it sounds real old. Hey, go work out. Now, we know there are different ways to work out. And if you don't know, I'm here to tell you. Whether you want to ride a bike, you want to run across a bridge, you want to go lift weights, this is how you separate yourself from the rest.
Fat guys get girls, bro.
Yes.
That is true.
Just going to tell you that.
Yes.
That
yeah. Rest in peace, true. Biggie Smalls. Rest in peace, Biggie Smalls and Big Pun. But the whole thing is, if you're going to be a big bro and get girls, you know, the truth is you've already X'd out a part of that community, unless you're coming with a certain amount of, I would say, extraordinary game. Okay. I mean, you're finessing a chick. Or you're coming with extraordinary cash where, you know, you're taking care of that woman. So, again, the cheat code I'm talking about is hit the gym and lift some weights. Yo, check this out, homies. Did you know that only 17% of men can bench press over 200 pounds? Only 17% of men. So if you can bench press over 200 pounds, you're doing better than 83% of men out there. And I'm going to tell you a real fact. I had an uncomfortable conversation with Minga where she was saying, hey, all she needs is a guy with a six pack and a big pack. Minga, didn't you tell me this?
Yes.
Minga. Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see how fast that answer came out.
She said this to me.
Okay. Can we break this down? I'm sorry.
I want to make clear. Minga is family. This is why we have these conversations. But
Minga, if you you're saying C squared, I will look past all that man's flaws if he's bringing a six pack and the big D.
And we're not talking about Detroit.
No, I will not look past that.
Okay. And he's loyal. So we'll yeah,
the
that in
financial
there
would have to be an aspect of that.
Okay,
as well.
So we're back to the money. Right. So
we back to the pushback, because let's tell the truth. Fat guys get girls. Ugly guys get girls. Broke guys get girls.
Because we're desperate.
Yeah, but it's. I'm gonna push back.
I don't care. We get girls.
They do get girls, and there's someone for everyone, but not at the same rate that bros who are in shape. I want to promise you, because I've seen big bros getting girls. I've seen guys who are not the most handsome with some very, very beautiful girls. But if you talk about a dude who's in shape, like, there's just not going to be any way to keep up with him if he knows how to speak to women and he's in shape, because you just become a unicorn at that point. And I'm going to tell you why. So going to the gym is not something, you know, everyone wants to do. 3-4 times a week, running in the park during different cold weathers, that's not something people want to do. But when you do something that you're not comfortable with, your brain grows. There's a part of your brain that grows when you do things you don't want to do. It's called the anterior mid cingulate cortex, the AMCC. So this part of your brain actually grows from you doing things you're uncomfortable with, and it gives you dexterity, it gives you resilience. But if you're always doing things you're comfortable with, that part of the brain doesn't grow and you become very passive, easily led astray.
Now, and you know what part of the brain like is responsible for growing is the hippocampus.
There you go. Throw that in, Minga.
Okay. Listen, I've seen many movies at AMC. I don't know why we're advertising for them, but you know, whatever.
This is what you interrupted me for, like. Are you kidding me? I was dropping gems. Yeah, man. You better have something to say. Go ahead.
Comedy gold here. Don't interrupt me interrupting you. What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. But no, but my point is, again, like you, I think you threw in a qualifier there that if he knows how to talk to the girls, just because you have muscles don't mean you know how to approach a woman or talk to a woman. There's been many times as me being a bigger brother where I've, you know, I have a pretty decent gift for the gab, I will say. I can be pretty charming, as some people have told me. There's plenty of times where I've gone and I managed to get the number where the guy with the bends couldn't get it, or the guy with the muscles couldn't get it. So I would put, listen, and being in shape is a good thing. I'm not against anybody being healthier in shape, but I don't think you have to have muscles to get girls. Like,
this is not what's being said, that you have to have muscles. And I like the way you pervert my message. What's being said is that if you want a cheat code and you want to separate yourself from the rest and you want to be the prize. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of this is about ego. You want to be the prize. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you there's layers to this. I have seen gym bros, dudes who are in good shape. And it can be whatever. You have dudes who are slim and cut up. You have dudes who are bulky, whatever the case may be. And I've seen gym bros who don't know how to talk to girls. And guess what? The body does the talking for them. This is what we're talking about. Body language.
Hold on a second, Val.
Go ahead, C-Square.
I gotta push back.
Okay.
If there is a cheat code, the cheat code has to be
a guy with money.
Okay.
It has to be that. There's just people who have plenty of money pulling women that's 40, 50, 60 years younger than them.
Yes.
Showing up on the beach, going to the nice restaurants. You know what I'm saying? So now if you're saying, hey, listen, if you don't have the bank like that, I'm letting you know here's another way.
Okay.
That's different.
Yes.
But the cheat code
is
make that bank.
I'm just
okay,
saying,
but I'm gonna
$1 million I had was $1 million smile.
And I'm gonna take you somewhere else. I'm gonna take you somewhere else with this. What if you are the guy who's in great shape and you have money? This is the ultimate. This is like being the Holy smart girl. Hulk. Right. This is like the smart Hulk. So if you don't know the story of the Incredible Hulk, there was a crazy savage Hulk, which was super strong. And then there was a genius Hulk, and they came together to make Perfect Hulk. And I want everyone to be Perfect Hulk. This is where we're going with it. But if you can't be rich, then yeah, you're right. Be in shape. It will make up for the money, because we have a lot of households today where you have women are the main income earners. Now, I'm not telling you to lay on your butt and let a woman do for you, but I'm telling you, I seen it. I seen it like a zenith. I seen men who were not well educated or gainfully employed, taken care of by women simply because they were in great shape. And it may be something that if you've never seen before, you may not believe the gains you can make, but the gains you make ain't only being made in the gym.
Well, the only thing I would say is that I guarantee you all those people you're talking about had a gift of gab. And those brothers could talk. Because if you can't talk, well, what happened is you can listen. And then, you know, I'm not saying you can't just get laid off of just having muscles. Yes, that can happen. But if you're just a muscle-bound bro and you pull up on a girl and you don't know what to say, she's going to look at you sideways. Maybe you correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean, are you saying, if you're a heavier guy, that you can get a woman because of the money aspect?
No, that's C-Square's point. C-Square is just like, I'm going to slap you with $100.
It's common denominator. Come with me.
My point is that if you can talk well enough.
Or would a woman just settle, a woman that has money would just settle for a man who looks like whatever, who's like well built, because he looks like that? So that's the question that I have in my mind. Would you settling because of these things? So would I settle for... you know, someone who's built, right? Because he's built? Or am I going to settle for a man who's bigger because he has the money?
So what there's one more aspect that we haven't talked about, and I want to just add all these things, and I'm really using Minga here as our proxy female intelligent woman who's our social emotional expert.
I'm joking.
What about intelligent conversation? Because I have heard women say that when they engage an intelligent man, it is a turn on.
Let me
Somebody who can
check this
express
one out with mine.
themselves. So
I don't think that's true, bro. I don't think that's true. I think
I was
that.
talking to Minga. I was talking to Minga.
Shout outs to
Oh,
Morty.
okay. Go
I mean,
ahead.
like,
Lie
for
detector
me, like, if I
test. Like, I
cannot
thought it was my
engage in an
segment.
intelligent
My
conversation with you, there's nothing you can
fault.
do about
That
it. Yeah, I live, like, my career of revolves around eliciting responses and building on responses, and the relationship I have with my kids is also very similar. So if I can't build on what you say in terms of my conversations with you, we can't go past that.
See that? I think
I
that's
don't care
better.
what you make, what
So,
commitment you make, what you do.
wait, no,
What
wait.
is
Let me
most important?
time out. So
Don't
this
get
is a Professor G
lawyered.
segment, and you guys are forgetting the main idea. I'm telling you
Yes.
why it's a good idea to be
Be
in
cool
shape
and
as
have
opposed to not
muscles.
be in shape.
You say
You
that again?
understand?
You say that again?
Okay, I'm telling you why it's a good idea to be in shape as opposed to not
You
being in
got
shape.
sea
So,
muscles.
Then what's your main idea?
come
Say,
with
give your main
me. So
idea.
let me give you my
I have
main idea, Miss Minga.
muscle. Come with me. Sorry.
All right, come on, dude. Let's
Yes.
you look
Give
like
your
you're
main
wearing three
idea.
bulletproof jackets right there, man. You're talking about muscle. All right, so let's go back to the main idea. So the main idea here is why should you be in shape? It's not just to attract women. So when you, of course, are a male who wants to provide and protect, when you're in good shape, the protection speaks for itself. When people or other dudes or someone who may want to violate sees you, the protection speaks for itself when they see you in shape. That's the first thing we want to talk about. Next thing a lot of people don't realize from being in good shape and staying in shape is the benefit it provides you when you are having sex with your girl, not to be too graphic, but you have a strong lower
The fame
back, you have
machine.
good cardio, you're going to have a better sex life, and that's definitely a part of keeping
Speed
your girl.
PG show. It's a PG show.
I hear you, but we're
Endurance.
dropping
We have
real
endurance.
knowledge.
No, you're keeping it real. You're keeping it real.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is all part of things people don't think about when it comes to staying in shape. The fact that you're a protector, the fact that you want to provide physical attraction, and you want to provide a good romance life.
Are you
These
speaking on
things
your
will all
personal
improve.
experience?
Say that again.
You speaking on your personal experience?
Hey, my
Wow.
wife ain't, she ain't going nowhere. She ain't going nowhere. You understand?
But my counter is
All
neither is mine.
right, but you know what I would say? I would say to you that a lot of things would improve for you if you got into better shape, which I know we've talked about before. So things can only get better.
I'm all for being in good shape. So I don't want to knock anybody who wants to be in good shape. Everybody's goal should be in good shape. I'm just
So,
saying.
do you think like some women would
So
be less single if they, like, or men if they were in better shape? Like, would they find
yeah,
their
of
purpose?
course.
That's what he's
Because
saying.
the
Yeah,
first
he's
thing
wrong.
you
He's wrong on
see,
that.
the first thing you see when you look at somebody, obviously, is their physical being, and that's what leads to physical attraction. You can't see their brain. But I'm going to bring you a part two of this, and I'm going to break this down in further detail. There were many interruptions. I think for a moment we forgot this was a Professor G segment,
Oh, come on, C
and
squared.
we're going to come back to this. All right.
That's not fair.
All right, so
Fantastic
we're gonna
experience.
leave it there. Shout out to the ugly brothers. Shout out to the fat brothers.
The fat ones too.
Shout out to the broke brothers.
So I was just thinking about my dating experience in terms of being married for 10 years and then being divorced, right? So I was married for 10 years and I'm divorced now for like maybe 2.5 years, and I started to reflect on my dating experience, right? In terms of trying to find somebody online and to see what that experience has been like, right?
We with you.
So, any questions?
No, I said
No,
we with you.
keep
We
going,
with
keep
you. Yeah,
no problem. So literally, I thought about like maybe certain instances in which I tried to find someone and to see how it worked out. So I've been on several dates, online dating, like I said. And then I started thinking about it. What's the underlying thing? I've been unsuccessful. Exhibit A.
Give it to us.
Right. I met a man who shares an interest of literature, which is very common toward what to me, myself. And then we were like hanging out. We went out on one date, right? And he told me that, hold on, I have to see you guys so I could make a. So I went on a date with him, and then we had a good time. And then I called him, and then he told me, I said, oh, what's your dating experience? And I said, what's your situation like? He said, he's married.
Was he a little married or like married?
He is married, and his wife is in Canada.
Oh, that's a little married.
So
A
wait,
little bit married.
let me ask you this. So why didn't you ask that question before the date? Like, are you married? How about that? Start there.
Because I'm stupid. Because I'm stupid.
Okay, so this was like a good-looking guy, or he has money,
A
or
very good looking guy.
part of Canada was his wife in?
Oh, I didn't ask, but he does have a wife in Canada.
So what was he looking for? Was he like, hey, look, I'm married, that relationship's intact, but I'm down here a lot and I'm just looking for somebody I can just chill with and maybe spoil. Is that where he was at?
I think that's where he is at the moment. And then when he wants to see her, he will go see her and the kids.
Why is she in Canada?
That's a very good question. I don't know if she has the papers for her to be able to live here.
Well,
So
she's married. So she's an automatic citizen. Come on, Minga. What's going
right, so
on?
listen, Canadians though, they get more benefits living in Canada.
Well, I've actually heard
She
this
may not
story
may want to
before.
move
So
here.
she needs benefits so she can have more babies and he's dating down here.
Wow. Okay, here comes
This is not
MAGA
going well,
squared
Minga.
with the Well,
I'm like,
okay,
why
so
would you put yourself on a dating website if you're married?
Okay, so you met this dude on a dating website, just to be clear.
Yes.
Then you find he didn't put he was married on the dating website.
Correct.
What was your dating experience like before you got married? Like, were you dating a lot? Did you get married later in life? Or was it kind of like, this is my first serious relationship out
Right.
of high
I'll be
school and
honest with
boom.
you. I was married for 10 years. I never got a divorce thinking that I needed to have someone. It was just for my peace. Right? So I already knew what the dating world was like. And I'm not surprised at what this is. So I'm telling something, oh, I'm not surprised. No, I knew what it was. And I don't have better than what I had.
But you have peace now.
Yes, I have peace. And that's what's the most important part. You may not have what you want, but as long as you have your peace, that's what's
So
most important.
that this I have
And
a
I think
question.
most people, Mr. GP, C squared, like they will just like they leave someone and they want to say, yeah, I'm better. And they like the ego, they have, the ego is inflated. I'm here to say that I'm not where I want to be in terms of relationship, right? And that's okay to say that I'm not where I need to be, where I want to be.
There's a lot there. You're really losing kind of a part of yourself at this point. So you really kind of have to go and mend yourself. You have to take that time, make sure you're right, make sure you're mentally in a good place before you get out there to rejoin with somebody
It's
else.
so important. It's so important.
So my question to you is, how long did you wait before you went back into the dating world after your divorce?
That's an excellent question. I would say about 1 year.
Like, what have you done to build Minga back up after your divorce?
Like renovating my apartment, trying to lose weight.
How did we get where we got? And what are the tendencies that we fell into so that we don't repeat those going forward and find ourselves 3, 5 years down the line, we're in the exact same relationship we left 5 years ago?
My mother told me today, the next time you find a man, to know what his upbringing is. To do that legwork, to see what was his upbringing. Was he raised with a mother? Was he raised with a father? And not compromising sometimes, I think is extremely important. And also to realize where you were toxic. We talked about toxic, femininity. To see like how what attributes can I did I exhibit that resulted in the demise of my marriage. So what do I have to change within myself?
Let's see where you are right now, right? Because this is a...
And I went on a date yesterday with someone.
Right, yeah. Where are you at now? Are you dating now?
Yes, I went out on a date with someone that I've known for like 20 years that tried to pursue me.
Okay, so this is a friend. Friend.
Do you have a wife in Canada?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that, Mr. GP, right? Is he married?
And he's not. He's divorced like myself. And then, like, you know, has a master's in mental health, blah, blah, blah. And I've known him for a long time. And he was so rude. You know, we went on a date and he was so rude to me.
Oh, how so? How was he rude?
Why was he rude?
Like, anything I said, like, he was just, like, so mean. He was just, like, so, like.
He was sticking his tongue out?
Yes, like, he did not want to be on the date.
Well, is he normally, like, in
He was everyday... never like that. When we was friends, Mr. GP, he was never like that.
Okay, there it is. So, you're not going back out with him?
No.
Okay, so it didn't work out with the dude who has the wife in Canada. And this dude here was on his menstrual cycle. So it didn't work out with him. All right. So what do you think the problem is, Minga? Do you think that these dudes are just not like real men? Or do you think that you're just picking the wrong dude?
And the man that loves me, it's not physically attractive.
Let's talk about him.
Yeah, he's giving me everything I want. He's not attractive to me.
You said the man that loves you? That's a
the man
guy
that
you currently
really wants
know?
Me is not attractive. I don't find him attractive.
Well, how did you meet him?
Who's this guy?
I met him through a friend, and he lives out of the country, but he gives me everything I want. The security. He's like,
And he's a Canadian.
No. He's like serious. No, he's serious. But he's not like the most attractive guy.
Yeah, what's unattractive about him?
I would say like the visual. It's not like physically.
It's like elephant like Green Goblin from Spider-Man. Like what?
He should wear like a potato sack over his face.
Yeah,
talking about the muffled voice.
He's not ugly, but he's not like good.
I am a man. When he talks, it sounds like.
Well, let's back up. What do you like? What do you like about, besides the fact that he is in love with you? What else is attractive about him? What else is appealing
you
know, about
like,
him?
Like he would be like, okay, I have two kids. Like, how are your kids doing?
So if that's the case, Minga, why don't you just take ugly man and call it a day and let him take care of you and your kids?
Shabba.
That's a W.
Shabba. So I'll speak from personal.
This is GP laughing right now.
I'll speak from personal experience for a second. No, this is a legit question. Because I think that
listen, ugly people.
I think women are even. I think women are even more apt to what I'm about to say than men. But at the end of the day, you can get to know someone and they become more attractive to you because of what you've learned about them.
So you get used to the ugly.
Just because you look like this, don't mean you can't
to the perverse look of their grotesque face.
My nose.
I feel bad for this dude's gonna watch this podcast and he's gonna be crying.
Back because you guys are all handsome men.
Yeah, but thank you, Megan. Hold on. I stick up for my ugly brothers, all right?
You're sticking up for a lot of brothers who look like mutants today.
Yeah, I've noticed not ugly. A pattern.
Give us your final thoughts on the dating situation today. So what are you going to do going forward?
I'm not in a position where I found someone and I did not expect it, and that's okay, but I can still find my peace.
All right. And I believe you will find a man who does not need to put a potato sack over his face to not outgross everyone around him. You will.
Yeah, I believe in you. The moral of the story is, if you see an ugly man with a girl, know he earned it.
All right. Back here on the Mantastic Experience. So Mr. GP told us about his weight loss journey, and he's going to give us an update.
When I first brought it up on the pod, I was at 291. When I first started losing weight, I was at 295.
Mm-hmm.
I am currently at 288. So 3 pounds down from the last update. And just a little transparency, you know, it's been a while. That was a few episodes ago. And C Square would ask, Professor G would ask, hey, you want to talk about it? You want to talk about it? And I was like, yeah, next episode. And even though I'm down 3 pounds, I could have did more. It's not even, I just could have. A lot of it is you really have to be in the mental space to get where you're trying to go. Because it's tough, because there are days where you're going to get on that scale and that scale is not going to tell you what you thought you were going to get. Mm-hmm. And if you're not prepared to see that, it can hurt you. And I think there were a few days I just wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready to do the work that I needed to do. Yeah, I wasn't ready to do the work that I needed to do. And I could be at a lower weight right now. That's just straight up.
So GP, so you said you've lost 3 pounds in the last how many weeks?
I don't even remember when that last episode was. This is, pretty much we can take it back to almost beginning of the year.
All right, so let me.
But that kind of. See, it's kind of weird because there was the podcast weight. The podcast weight was 291.
Where are we going with this? This is not what I wanted to say. So let me jump in. Right. Yeah, I know. You're just going.
No.
Okay, you're just throwing some Batman smoke up in here. Let me just get right to it. Okay. So yeah, to lose 3 pounds, and like you generally losing a pound a week is considered healthy, right? So if it's been, that's what's considered healthy, a pound a week. Well, why? What have you heard?
No, I've spoken to doctors because, of course, you know what? If I go to a doctor, they're going to talk to me about losing weight. The doctor told me if you lose 2-3 pounds in a year, that's a good thing.
Wow. As long as you're on the counter. No, dude, you can lose much more weight than that much quicker.
Oh, I know that.
So all right. So if you're losing, if you're trying to lose 10 pounds and you're going to lose 2 or 3 pounds in a year, so it's going to take you like 3 or 4 years to lose 10 pounds. There are plenty of people who lose weight very quickly. And some people take extreme measures. I'm not telling you to do that, but you can lose weight very quickly. But what's generally considered healthy is to lose a pound a week.
So I think what you're saying is losing too much weight too quickly can be unhealthy. Is that really what you're saying?
Yes. So you can lose more than a pound a week with extreme exercise, but then it's not healthy. So what's considered healthy is a pound a week. So generally after a month, if you've lost about 4 or 5 pounds, you're doing really, really well. And I'm not saying you can't do more or less, but this is kind of where you want to set your goals.
You know, there's a couple of shirts in my closet that I can see I'm almost able to wear again. I just need to drop a couple of pounds. So I'm energized to drop those pounds out so I can break those shirts back out.
Let me go in because I know we want to play, you know, psychotherapist and everything. But I don't think that's the answer. It's an all hands on deck approach. And this is what I see in that works. Like you have to have a complete reconditioning of the mind and say, you know, I'm going to do a whole bunch of stuff that I don't want to do. Why? Because I know it's going to keep me healthier. I'm going to be able to interact with my daughter better. I'm going to live longer and I'm going to be there for my family. It really comes down to that. And when you don't want to have conversations like that, like, hey, I'm doing this not to look good, but to extend my life, then, you know, you're kind of shying away from the real issue. So it's not just about working out, you know, just to look good. It's about working out to, you know, be there for your fam.
So I think that's where, anyway, we touched about this on the pod, and we even touched about this off the pod. I think that's the part that about me that you can't get. I have that conversation in my head every day. Okay. There's nothing scarier to me than the thought of me having a heart attack or a stroke and not being here for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to hear that from you. I hear it from me every night.
But when you've been hearing from yourself, hasn't been working. So that's why I would say you do need to hear it from us.
Because what you're doing is not working. But this is why I need you to hear from me. You're thinking that I'm not taking all this into consideration.
That's not what I'm thinking.
All this stuff has been
That's
taken
not what
into
I'm thinking.
consideration way before you decided to chime in.
I'm thinking you need help and you don't want to ask for it. That's what I'm thinking. So I'm like, hey, you have a person like myself. I'm an avid workout guy. Get with me, bro. I told you I'll meet you. I'll come. I'll work out with you. We could go in the park. We've done it before. I haven't gotten that call. Give me that call, bro. I'm there.
It's just a simple thing, like, listen, but when you go to an overweight person and you want to talk to them about their weight, there's nothing you're telling them that they don't already know. They know they've put on too much weight. They know they're doing things that are bad for them. Trust me, they know. It's two things. You have to get yourself mentally back into that place where you can do what you need to do to drop that weight. Secondly, a lot of people don't realize this, but it's kind of sugars and all these things. They basically react as a drug. You still need these things. You're still going to eat these things. You still need food. I can't stop not eating food. You're going to eat food. You have to eat better food, but you're going to eat food, and then, so you're always going to have that temptation. One thing that I did on one diet, and I'll never forget this. I started counting the amount of food commercials on TV. And I implore anybody to just pay attention to it. I remember there were seven straight restaurant or food commercials in a row, one commercial break. So it basically went from like Applebee's to Burger King to McDonald's to Donald. Just food, food, food. It's constantly thrown in your face. So it's harder for me to resist certain things than it probably is for Professor G.
You've done it before. So my question is, bro, you've done this.
Yes.
So it's almost like you fell into good habits once before. Let's revisit how you did that. It's a lot harder when you've never done it.
But this is also why I talked about the way the clothes fit. Because that's
Yeah.
something for me mentally, it's kind of a sign. Like if I can put on this shirt, if I can wear this shirt, okay, I'm close. Let me do this, let me do that. I can lose this weight. And this shirt will now fit. Sometimes it's little steps. One thing that I think has me motivated right now is that my wife, who she had a baby, and she's lost about 30 pounds from the pregnancy. So that's something where it's like she's really excited. I'm starting to feel a little bit more excited. So it's pulling energy off from people around me. Like that. The next time we do this, it's going to be a better report.
So listen, I really want to spend some time today talking about how we manage our money. All right. A lot of time, not the sexiest topic. A lot of people feel like you all up in their business when you start talking about how they manage their money. But at the end of the day, if you don't know how to manage your money, you will never get to a better place. All right. I'm gonna start quoting some scripture on you on this piece, right? So, one thing I will say is, right, that if you are not a good steward over the little things, if you're not faithful over the little things, then God will not put you in a position to be faithful over the larger things, over the bigger things.
Amen.
So if you can't manage your money at $1,000 a month when you're a teenager, or at, $5,000 a month, into your adult years, you're not, it's not, everyone thinks if I make more money, I'll be in a better position to manage my money, but that's actually not true. What's true is at $50,000 a month, you will make even worse decisions. If you Google people who have won the lottery and you think, listen, you won the lottery, you won $30 million, you won $300 million, one would think they got their life straight. But in reality, what ends up happening is within 5 years, the average person who wins the lottery is broke again.
Curse
So this
of
is
the
about
lottery winners. I don't know if you heard about that
curse of the
curse.
lot. I did
Curse
not hear
is
about that
curse.
curse.
There is a curse of the lottery winners. So most people who win the lottery, as you said, go broke within
There's
5 years. But
license.
some of them
Show
even
about
die.
legend.
Yeah, they've done shows. Yeah, some of them
Oh wow,
die.
they
You know,
die.
they get caught up by
That's crazy.
scammers. The scammers kill them. One lady, she even buried the lottery winner who she stole the money from under the front porch, like
Wow.
concrete, buried him under the
Wow.
concrete.
That took a dark turn.
Wow. And they
Well, be
figured that
careful what
out.
you ask for.
Well, I'll just say this because I've never been the greatest with money. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten better with it. But I've had it where I've cleared off my debt and I built it right back up.
Yeah. Patterns.
Mr. GP, I think you still owe someone some funds. I don't want to say who.
I don't know what you're talking about, dog.
Hey, Melissa.
I might have a little bill for you, but I don't know. I'm talking to you about that off air.
I don't know.
Let me give you
about my camera's about to go.
So Professor G was talking about a cheat code at the start of the episode, right? Talking about cheat code was hitting that gym. I'm gonna give you a cheat code around budgeting. It's real simple. But it's not easy, but it's simple. Save every receipt. Save every receipt. And I'm going to use scripture on you again. It's like I'm a preacher today. But there is a story about a leader, a king who was given out, you know, a very wealthy man. He was given out what they call talents in the New Testament. He said he was given out talents. To one, he gave one. To one, he gave five. To another, he gave 10. And then he said, go out, invest what I've given you, and then come back and show me what you've done with it. And that's the piece I want to emphasize is show me what you've done with it. They each, even though one of them was way more successful than the others, they each had an accountability of what they did with what was given to them. And when you think about stewardship, when you think about managing your money, you have to know what you did with it. And I promise you, if you take the time over the course of 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and track every last red cent, you will start making better money decisions.
Wait, so you're saying just save the receipts and do what you're looking at the receipts after a month?
Just pay attention to how you're spending the money. I use an app to do it. Personally, I use an app on my phone. I track every last red cent. I've been doing it for years. I track every last red cent that I spend my money on. Now, there are times where I purposely know that I'm making bad decisions, but I'm just like, you know what? I'm just gonna let it ride. You know, I want to take this vacation. I'm not gonna pay as close attention to this, whatever. And there's other times where I'm like, okay, I need to reel it back in. And when you gotta reel it back in, it's get back to what am I really spending money on? How much money did I spend on Amazon this week? How much money did I spend getting Starbucks this week? You know what I'm saying? I heard a stat the other day, it blew me away. But they were like, look, if you're a smoker and you get Starbucks 5 days a week while you're going to work, it adds up to about $6,000 a year.
Yeah.
And if you're making and if you're making $30,000 a year, you're making $60,000 a year, that's pre-tax. After taxes, then you're taking $6,000 and you're putting it to cigarettes and Starbucks. That's just a big commitment. And sometimes it's easier to make the right decision over the wrong one when you just realize fully what the impact is. But when you see, hey, I can spend $5 on a drink, you know what I'm saying? And you're seeing it in too small of a sphere. So I'm just saying, pay attention to how you spend your money, account for it. And when you start to do that, you start to realize where you are wasting money. Well, where you are spending money unnecessarily. Yeah, talk to me.
Let me ask you this. So, you know, I like what you said. Look at where the money's going, right? Like they say, follow the money and you'll find the truth. But I think a lot of people know the truth. And the truth is they have vices. They're spending money on things they shouldn't be spending on. Like, bro, I'm shocked when I'm a working man. I take a day off. You know, I hit the mall to grab a t-shirt. I'm shocked. The mall is almost full.
Yeah.
I'm like, where are these people getting this money from? So obviously,
yeah. ain't no recession.
Right, like these are people with bad spending habits. So what's your advice to people who have the mini vices, you know, that they got to have the fashion, they got to have the Starbucks?
You know, look, I think it all starts with setting goals. And I was going to say this earlier in the segment where we were talking about Mr. GP's journey, but I think at the end of the day, you've got to really create a burning desire to achieve a particular goal, whether it is weight loss, whether it is getting to a better financial position, whether it is buying that house you've always wanted, whether it is buying a business that you've always wanted, getting some financial independence, paying off that last credit card, whatever the goal is. Setting that goal and literally like reading it when you wake up in the morning and reading it when you go to sleep at night and just rehearsing that thing and envisioning that you've achieved it, right? So if you do that kind of stuff, you've got the goals. But now at the end of the day, it's you have to account. Like I said, you have to account for where your money's going. By the way, I mentioned the app earlier. The app that I personally use is Quicken Simplify. Anybody can get it. Simplify with an I at the end, not a Y at the end. I used to use Mint. Mint went kind of out of business, got purchased by somebody. I didn't like the new company, so I went to Simplify. That's my own personal preference. But I just had something. I used to use Quicken way back in the day, like 20 plus years ago. And that's when Quicken was just kind of on your desktop. Now it's just on online. So it's really super. You can have it on your phone. You can have your iPad. You can have it on your computer. It's all good. So I use that. And for me, what's really helped me as I'm doing this is, one, you start to realize, where am I spending money? You know, if you're getting at the end of the month and you do not have enough money to get you to the end of the month, there is a problem. If you need your credit card in order to make it to the end of the month, hello, you have a problem.
You got a problem.
Okay. And it is not sustainable. If you spend an extra $300 this month to get to the end of the month, you
so
do
people
that gotta
cut
more
spending.
Time. Yeah, you do it 11 more
so
times.
They gotta cut spending.
You're gonna be down $3,600. So at the end of the day, you've got to get the spending under control.
So
and,
is it
and
just
really
a
narrowed
poor,
down.
Is it just a poor person's mentality? Because I was told that a poor person's mentality, if you offer a poor man $1 today or $10 a month from now, they'll always take the dollar today. Instead of seeing the benefit of taking the $10 later on
down the road,
line, meaning
almost
they don't
like
understand
a,
the compound
delaying gratification. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah.
Delaying gratification, mm-hmm. Choosing the harder right over the easier wrong. I mean, it's a little bit of that, but I think sometimes, look, at the end of the day, it's just like be aware of what you're spending your money on. Part one, easy to do, save every receipt. Then it's like, okay, let's sit down. Let's really think about it. We've done this for a couple months. I'm not making the right decisions. Let's figure out where the money's going. What are you wasting money on, so to speak? What are you spending money on that maybe you shouldn't be? Is it daily Starbucks? Is it daily lunch where you're spending literally $20, $25 because you're out with your friends eating lunch every day when you go to work? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is.
Well, ask Minga. Minga, what are you spending your money on?
I can say like I overspend on like hair care. Mm. Was, you know, nails. Yeah, look good. Like mm-hmm. to look this.
But you gotta look good for the podcast, Minga. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I have to. I'm not gonna lie. I feel like I do overspend on certain things.
Come on the podcast.
Clothing. So I'm just listening. You have to see that like, overspending on to see how you could like stop and then like move forward.
You really have to rely on personal discipline, okay? Because you may marry or get in a relationship with a spender. I'm actually a spender, by the way. I'm the spender in a relationship. I'm that dude who's like, oh, I need this. Let me just go ahead and get it. So it took extra discipline for me to get to the place that I'm at right now where I'm like, you know what? Look, I can't just be doing that.
We're going to save some for the next Mantastic experience.
Yeah.
Damn, I feel like I was in church.
Yeah. He was preaching.
Threw a couple scriptures out there that time.
I'm gonna go get some duct tape, find out where that leak is in the tire. Let's put that over there.
Just know what you're spending, folks. All right, so we will be back to bless you with more knowledge. This has been a Mantastic experience.
The Mantastic.
Peace.